all of you here in Goloka Dham. And he had been to Goloka Dham, and he said, please tell them that Goloka Dham in Germany is a very special place because it is a place of pilgrimage. And the best way to make full use of a place of pilgrimage is to concentrate on the object, the purpose, the goal of that pilgrimage. This is always on every step in the mind of a pilgrim. When someone takes the arduous journey to Mountain Kailash to make a pilgrimage to Lord Shiva, he will think each step, oh, I want to reach the sacred mountain high in the Himalayan high plateau. And this energizes him. This keeps him alive. Or when someone goes to the sacred land of Vrindavan, on every step which he takes, when he enters Heathrow Airport, when he comes to Delhi and find out he lost his British passport on the plane, at every step, even when things don't work the way which a pilgrim wanted to work for him, he thinks, I am on a pilgrimage. I'm going to Krishna. In the ancient Purana, there is a story about a frog. Frog. Quack, quack. Who was on his way to Mother Ganga. I don't know if they make steps or jumps. And on every jump, he was thinking, I'm going to Ganga. So about 6 kilometers before he reached Mother Ganga, a snake came, opened its mouth, and devoured the frog. But because even in this mishappening, that's a big mishappening, he was thinking, I'm going to Ganga. At the moment where he left his body in the mouth of the snake, he went back to Godhead. Because on every jump, a pilgrim thinks of the goal, he will certainly reach the goal. So I really recommend you that on every step which you take here in Goloka Dham, remember your spiritual goal. Be a pilgrim. A pilgrim is a person who makes a journey to a goal to which only the compass of the spirit, the soul compass, which is there in the heart, can show the way. So I wish you a good, happy pilgrimage. This is, you have come all the way from London, and you are here now. Our guests, we will do everything that you have first-class prasadam, the most sweet dreams. Yeah, they happen when you have a lot of fresh air, which Londoners are not always accustomed to. We will take care that you have pizzas even, so that even your continental taste is fully fulfilled. And more than anything, we wish you to make a wonderful experience which will stay with you for many, many long years to come. That you will always remember, I was on pilgrimage to Goloka Dham. And that is our great desire. Please allow us to serve you in this wonderful retreat, which the devotees, I believe, Janakinath and Shesha and Dylan, they have called it spiritual awakening, isn't it? Spiritual awakening. Am I correct? This is... Ah, our man is here. Hare Krishna. Nice to see you, Prabhu. Will you play a drama again? Maybe. We all have to still qualify so that our actor is... good name again? Niskinchana Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu. Oh, maybe a Nityananda extra. What's extra? Good. I thought like this is quick. Dylan has announced properly that we have published this book, and it was, as soon as it came out of the printing press, there were already so many people who had waited for it that the first print was immediately distributed, but we are going for a second print. It's printed now in many countries, India also, one even in Russia, big number. But what we will do is, I will not read a book to you. No, we will have a seminar where I will teach you very practically, in forms of, or with practical exercises, how to become wealthy in spiritual life. That is, how you can really access the greatest treasure of all of Krishna's treasures, the holy name. So let us sing a little bhajan, Jai Radha Madhava, and the holy name. Badahari, holy name. Then we will start.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Valla Va Giri Varadhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadani Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana na. Tamunati Ravana Chari. Tamunati Ravana Chari. Jaya Dada Madhava Gunya Vihari Jaya Dada Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Utale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vachari Gopinavinamada My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, you've all come from a long, long way. I do not think just of the way you took now, the journey from London to Goloka Dham. I'm thinking more of the journey of your life. How many questions you have asked. How many times you have prayed, show me the way. And finally, after a long journey, you have arrived in Krishna consciousness and now more specific here on this retreat. Let us acknowledge this journey. Yes, we have seen what life is. Yes, all of us have seen the joys and the pains which this life has to offer us. Now we have seen there's something much higher. Our relationship with Krishna. And we have done a pilgrimage specifically for this relationship to become more strengthened, more convinced,
more empowered, if you so want, in our lives, to make sure that this journey will bring us to the lotus feet of the Lord. I request you to sit properly now. We will all sing a little bit. We will sing, glorify Krishna, and request him that our pilgrimage to Goloka Dham, our retreat, our spiritual awakening will definitely take place. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare.
Please sing fully, full singing.
Hare, yes. Hare Rama.
One more time, please sing fully.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody, one more time. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe. Gaura Prema Nandi Ari Ari Ribo. Hare. You sing very nice. Thank you. Thank you. As the retreat goes on, we will have many more such kirtans. And I request you, as you are listening to the Living Name workshops and lectures that will be presented during this retreat, always make it a point to immediately apply your new discoveries or your new insights into the chanting of the holy names, so that when you all leave from here, you will actually be good chanters, accomplished chanters, chanters who approach their perfection in their spiritual life. So it's very practical. This morning, I want to just give you a brief orientation of our journey together with the Living Name and the Living Name practices. If you would meet a European king in the old times, and even an Indian king, you would always know that he has a treasury. Inside the treasury, the most valuable items are kept. Not just gold coins and so on, but golden shields, swords, vases, thrones, etc. The treasury represented the wealth of the country. So I would like to ask you this morning a question. What do you think is the greatest treasure in God's or Bhagavan's treasure house? That's a good question, no? What is the greatest treasure in the Lord's treasury? I think I overheard someone saying love, divine love, prema, prema bhakti. I was thinking that also, that divine love, or prema bhakti, is right what the Lord has in his heart. And in the heart, there you will actually find the greatest treasures. A person keeps his treasures in his heart. There's such a statement. Surprisingly, in the great book Harinam Chintamani, it is said the greatest treasure in the Lord's treasury is his holy name. Think about it. There must be amazing treasures in the holy name, in the Lord's treasury. His various energies, for instance, which manifest everything of this world and beyond this world. But it says the greatest treasure in the Lord's treasury is not all of this, not his energies, not even his this world and the wealth this world has to offer, not even the Vaikuntha world. The greatest treasure in the Lord's treasure house is his holy name. Because the Lord is fully present in his holy name. This has to be realized. How the Lord is present in the holy name. How a name is identical with a personality. This is not within the experience of an ordinary worldly man. And in the little seminar which you will hear, we will try to give you tools into your hands and into your hearts that help you to unearth this mystery, to help you to find Krishna. It is said, everything which you find in this world is made of dull matter. The only exception is the Lord's holy name. When you chant the holy name, it frees you from your unlimited sins which you have performed in the reactions. You are free. You are free to go. A chanter is free to go. He's no longer held back by the so karmic reactions. The holy name gives you love to Krishna. And Haridas Thakur, he mentions there's something else which the holy name is giving to a devotee. The holy name, Haridas Thakur says, by chanting the holy name, the spirit souls attain Lord Krishna's abode. When you go to Germany, you might have had to show your passport. Yes? Did you have? Were you checked? No. You are not have not yet exited the European nature. What is it called? Brexit. It has not been completed. Soon you will have to show your passport when you go to Germany. When the Brexit is completed, then you have. When you go to a foreign land, usually you have to show some document of your. What is the document? What is the passport for Lord Krishna's abode? Huh? Yeah, but you must learn to chant it properly. No, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What's new on WhatsApp? That is really interesting. No, you must be tuned into the WhatsApp of the spiritual world. That is not yet with you. To tune yourself in the WhatsApp of the spiritual world, only an absorbed chanter can do. But if you do, you have your qualification, you have your visa, you have your documents to go to the holy name. Haridas Thakur says, by chanting the holy names, like Hari, say,
Hari,
Krishna,
Krishna,
and Rama,
Rama,
Esava Kirtan Jiva Poyo Krishna Dham. This, by chanting these names, the spirit soul attains Lord Krishna's abode. In my retreat, I always teach the people an analogy, the participants, which you will find in the Bhagavatam for chanting. It says, the mantra is the bow, the living entity is the arrow, and the target, can you imagine what the target is of chanting? A pizza? Huh? Krishna! Mataji, you have passed the examination. In my seminars, you just need to know one word, Krishna. Then you're always right. The target of our life, the very goal of our life, especially of chanting, is the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, if you have a bow and an arrow and a target, is that enough? I would say it's only good if you know how to bring everything together and how to use the bow. I have seen in our movement, many devotees know about the Hare Krishna mantra. Many people know about the goal of their life, but they don't know how to perform the sadhana properly, and therefore, after several years, they are still disappointed. They are still attracted to material things. They are still quarreling amongst themselves. They're still experiencing difficulties. If you learn how to chant this holy name properly, you will no longer miss the target, but you will reach the target. When I was young, amongst many other things I learned was to shoot with my bow. I think the Indian mothers amongst you would say at one stage, he looks like Lakshman. White complexioned Lakshman. I always had my bow with me. You would not see me without my bow and my arrow. But I had to learn to use the bow properly, to get to the target and not shoot at the pizza or destroy the furniture or the glass in the windows. I needed to learn how to use this one very nicely. My seminar is meant, it's a humble attempt to help you to use the Hare Krishna mantra as your bow, to understand that how you, like an arrow, can reach the target of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet by the power of that bow, by the power of the holy name. That is a little bit what we try to attempt. This bow analogy is given in the Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, text 42. There's a beautiful analogy about it. And Srila Prabhupada, I think, quotes in the purport how Arjuna was once coming to the Swayamvara of Princess Draupadi. There was an almost impossible task to be performed by the various princes. Whoever was able to use that powerful bow, it was a bow of Shiva, and shoot an arrow to a target which was very high up and which you could only take aim of by looking on a reflection in a bowl. It was almost impossible to reach it, but Arjuna, the perfect archer, supported by Krishna, kneeled down. He took aim by looking at the reflection of the target in the basin, the little bowl filled with water, and reached the goal. So in the same way, an expert chanter will reach Lord Krishna. So the first thing which you will need to know, which I will teach you, is to take aim, to look at the connection with Lord Krishna. There's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which tells us how to take proper aim. Krishna tomahana yadi bala ekabara. Krishna tomahana yadi bala ekabara. Maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. And you sit down. You must take aim. Pray like it is done in this verse. Oh Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, I'm actually yours. Although I have forgotten you for so many long years in London. Oh no, sorry. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today means now on this retreat, I am surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. The verse says that one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya, from the bondage of Maya, if one can turn like this to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, although I've forgotten you for so many long years, I'm turning to you, now surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. Does it sound familiar to you? Please engage me as your service. As your servant. Where have you, or please engage me in your service. Where have you heard this before? This Kinshan Chaitanya Prabhu informs us that this is the meaning, the very meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Please. I have become a Maya Das in London. Scandal. I am Maya Das, perfect Maya Das. Now please, my dear Lord, free me from this service to Maya and please engage me in your service. Krishna immediately gives assurance to such a devotee. Yes, you have come to me. Yes, I will take care of you. Yes, I'm here for you. I think many of you have problems to deal with Krishna's silence. I'm trying, Maharaj. You are explaining very loudly this morning. But I'm already trying. Then I will ask you, so you have called for Krishna? Has he answered? I do this always on my retreats. Has he answered? And many say, not sure. Don't know. Have not heard anything. Many spiritual practitioners, many devotees, good devotees, have come into problem because they could not deal with the, I will use a difficult word now, the apparent, the seeming silence of Krishna. Now you are all silent. No, because it is an important point. My dear devotees, Krishna immediately breaks his silence. The moment he sees someone sincerely calling out his name, he will immediately give signs and arrangements that here I am here for you. Welcome, welcome. All are welcome, pilgrims, worshippers, travelers, welcome. Immediately Krishna will break his silence, either by sending you devotees, or by giving you first-class engagement in devotional service, or he will come into your heart so that your longing for him will grow. When you turn sincerely to Krishna, Krishna breaks his silence. You just have to know how he breaks his silence. He may not speak to you. Oh, Shantanu. Perfect Bengali. He may not speak like this. Krishna breaks his silence by sending devotees, by giving opportunities to service, by coming in your heart and giving you strength there. This is how Krishna breaks his silence. But he breaks his silence somehow or other when he sees someone sincerely turning to him. That is in that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, an example is given how Vibhisan surrendered to Lord Ram. He had left the service of Ravan, and he came to Lord Ram to surrender to him. And then Lord Ram speaks this very famous verse, Sakrit Eva Prapanosmi, that anyone who surrenders to me and sincerely prays to me, I accept him and give him confidence and courage in his heart so that he can come to me. This is how Krishna breaks his silence. But you must turn to him. If you always chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If I would say now, Niskinchan Chaitanya, I'm very pleased that you came. That's one thing, but if I say, Niskinchan Chaitanya, you know, maybe I would not say the hoo hoo. Niskinchan starts to sweat already. It's immediately we feel something in our heart. No, Guru Krishna, we feel like this. So if you need to just turn to Krishna sincerely, then he immediately responds. It's a nice story with which I want to almost is the last point. I want to end. It's Draupadi. I never tire saying this. You know, once Draupadi came to received Krishna in Hastinapur. Oh no, wrong, in Indraprastha. And she served Krishna some sitafal fruits. It's a fruit which has the name of Sita Devi, and it needs to be cut, and then immediately you have it. You don't wait, you don't cut it open, and then you wait, because if you wait, it somehow in contact with the fresh air, the oxygen, it immediately loses some of its taste. So you must cut sitafal and then immediately have it. When you offer it, it may be good, the only fruit, where you keep it like it is and don't cut it. So Draupadi, to ensure that the taste is very good, did not cut the sitafal herself, but she came with a plate of sitafal, brought it to Krishna. There was a knife. And Krishna, whose name is Daksha, the most expert, took the knife, cut the sitafal and cut his finger. There was blood. Draupadi immediately took her sari. It was a red sari. It was a marriage sari, a favorite sari which she had borne, been dressed in the day of her marriage, and ripped out a piece and gave to Krishna, who immediately took care of his wound. Krishna looked at her very thoughtfully. He felt very sad because he could see the future. And he said, Draupadi, for this gift of a zari, I will repay you a millionfold in zaris. Krishna was thinking of something which would happen in the future. You know. So when the day came where Yudhishthira lost everything, including his brothers, in a game of loaded dice, when that day came, Duryodhan Shakuni said, there's one thing which is still in your possession. If you wage that for our last game, last round in the gambling, you can get everything back. Yudhishthira was trembling. He was saying, no. Duryodhan said, that last thing is your wife, Draupadi. Stake her! And being bound to the rules which governed Kshatriya Dharma, to never step back from a challenge, Yudhishthira, with trembling voice, staged Draupadi. And of course, in the game, Shakuni threw the dice which followed his orders, and he won that round of gambling again. And Draupadi was brought into the public assembly of the Kurus. And at that time, she was in her womanly days, where the women are more vulnerable, more fragile, and they keep usually away from public engagements and public appearances. So she was not wanting to come, but she was violently dragged into the sabha, into the hall. And then Duryodhana ordered her to sit on his lap. He slapped his lap like this. You sit here, Dasi. You are my servant now. This will give me pleasure and it will give you pleasure. Very, very, very vulgar. Very, very too hurtful for the heart to hear. We knew at that time Bhimsen made his terrible oath, for this offense I will break your tie with my club. Yes. So here was Draupadi. And the assembly, Duryodhana and the others, wanted to see her naked. She was Adasi, a servant now, she was lost to Duryodhana's whims, and she was helpless. This example is given in the scriptures. Helpless, very helpless. The powerful men had great appetite in their eyes to see her unclothed. And then this evil sin, it is almost too hard for me to tell you, was perpetrated, where she, her cloth was taken. Draupadi cried out, "Grandfather Bhishma, you save me." But Bhishma cried and shook. He turned away because he was bound to follow the orders of the king by Dharma. And Dhritarashtra had not objected to his son's vile proposal. When Draupadi saw not even Bhishma could protect her, she turned to the martial guru of her husband. "Drona, you must save me. This is never seen before, that in a public sabha of the empire, a queen is disrobed. What is this?" But Drona turned away. The assembled kings turned away. Finally, she called, "Govinda, Janardana, Mukunda." And when Krishna heard this, he was in Dwaraka, but he heard this call, sincere call of Draupadi. And he immediately came there by his powers. And unseen to others, he was standing next to Draupadi and supplying constant amount of sari. It was just coming out of his hand because he remembered that day where our Draupadi had torn her marriage sari and delivered a cloth to Krishna and said, "You take this quickly for your wound." Now Krishna was ready to close the most terrible wound in the heart of his dear devotee, Draupadi, the wound of being publicly disrobed. Yes, yes. He remembered. He remained truthful. Prabhupada comments on this. He says, the Mahabharata, Krishna says, "When I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, 'Hey Govinda!'"
Hey Govinda!
No, she cried really better. "Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!
Take her. This call for me has put me in her debt." Krishna says, I'm in her debt. "And that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart." And then Prabhupada says, the Maha Mantra is also simply an address to the Lord and his energy. So to anyone who's constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energy, we can imagine how much more the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. He says so, Prabhupada writes so beautifully, Nectar of Devotion, chapter 21, if you wish to read. So this is a little bit later. Draupadi came to Krishna and said, "Krishna, you saved me. Very nice. But why did you take so long? Why so long?" They were almost successful in their sinful intention. Krishna said something. Listen very carefully now. "You chanted my name. You called for me. But you turned to Grandfather Bhishma. How could I come? I said that I said, I don't want to indecently push myself into your life. You have called Bhishma. Let Bhishma come. Yes, said Draupadi, but afterwards you turn to Drona. To Dhritarashtra you turn, to all the kings. Listen, you have to chant my name, but turn to me. I think many of us chant, but we turn to our WhatsApp. We turn to our arrangements in this world. We don't surrender to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada came. You might say, why is our Maharaj talking so intensely? He has talked about the jewel. He has said how we should chant. Like an archer, we should chant. Take goal, we should know this is for Krishna, take aim. And he said he would teach us many things, but he's very loud, our Maharaji. Has he not slept enough? Or is he hungry that he's so loud? Why is he so loud? Maharaj is loud today because he has a message and he does not want you to sleep or not hear it. The message is simply, if you learn to chant properly, like we have heard in this moving Leela of Draupadi, then Krishna will answer. He will not be silent. 1974, when the world was younger, Srila Prabhupada visited us in Germany. At that time we lived in a castle which is about 120 kilometers further up in this direction. We lived there, and Prabhupada received a very influential priest in Germany. I've met him afterwards. And he expressed his mission, why he had come to Germany, to this priest. Can I tell you? It will be quite thought-provoking. No problem? No. Good. We like to think. Yes, I know. And the devotees in London like to think. Prabhupada said, I have not come to teach you, but only to request you to please chant the names of God. Please chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Cleanse your consciousness. Clean your heart, purify your heart, and understand your spiritual identity. This happens when you chant. I was there when Srila Prabhupada said this, and I discussed with the priest afterwards. He told me to chant. Yes, he tells everyone. Why is it? Yeah, because when you chant, Krishna, God, will be there. Very interesting. This is name theology. You call it in your concept, whatever you call it. But please understand, you must properly chant and your heart is purified and you understand everything. I was there and somehow his words spoke to me and I took it a little seriously. And now I'm saying to you in the voice of Prabhupada as trying to serve him, my dear devotees from London, it is our great honor that you have come here. And we will do everything to serve you hand and foot. Please come as pilgrims and please learn in the time where you are there alertly, consciously, inquisitively. how you can chant the holy name in such a way that Krishna will break his silence and he will appear to each single one and your granddaughters. Brahmacharis don't have granddaughters, so no problem. That is my request, and I'm looking really forward for tomorrow, where we will go into the practical things. I only want to end this now by doing a little exercise with you. Are you ready for an exercise? I give you a sign. We want to now learn how to chant with more absorption. And for this, there's a very nice exercise in the Living Name book. It's called Yojana. It means to align your pronunciation, to bring your listening to the holy name, and to do many, and to capture really the sound of the holy name with your ears. Would you like to try it? It's free of cost. Try to sit straight. Imagine a string is fastened to the back of your head and pulls you very gently upwards. Open your shoulders by rolling them back in circles. And relax. Notice how you're sitting straight and comfortably at the same time, straight and comfortable. Now we will practice pronouncing the Maha Mantra and listening. We will do two mantras together, just speaking them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This was about sitting and pronunciation, but we will go much deeper. Now, listen. Catch the sound vibration. Receive it through the oral channel. As Prabhupada would say,
Just try to listen to yourself, chant sincerely. You first try to pronounce properly. Now you will try to listen, to catch the sound vibration. Again, we will do this for 2 times together. Start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna.
Listen. Catch the sound. You're not listening. Listen. Hear. Yes. One more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We will do now a small, just 2-3 minutes kirtan. Your task will be to pronounce the mantra. It should be very clear. And then all your attention will go into catching the sound vibration. Please listen to yourself as you chant sincerely. Please start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Time, pronounce and listen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
As we will go on to sing in a second, think of Draupadi, how she must have sung, how much she must have put in it. And as you sing, sing that style. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Last time, everybody with hands raised.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Shri Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Shri Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Shri Radhe. Gaura premarandi, ari 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 bo. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much for participating in this first part of our Living Name retreat. It was called God's Greatest Treasure. And we learned a little bit how to receive this treasure, how to receive the Holy Name through proper reception. We will continue tomorrow in the morning class. And once again, I wish you the most wonderful and unforgettable pilgrimage. You know, when we go on retreat, we really only do one thing. We create memories. So, is Dylan our perfected master of ceremony? Please, you tell everyone what we should do now. We are a little late. Prasadam is soon coming. Or maybe one, two questions, if there are. Just to round it up. Flexible time. Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhuji.
That's a great class for you. It's really inspiring. The question I had was that, based on what you've just said, does that mean that Lord Krishna's holy name is more versatile than Krishna himself?
What a wonderful question you have asked. Your good name, please?
My name is Kiran.
Kiran, Prabhu. Kiran has asked. Does this mean that the holy name of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna himself? There is a very respected acharya who has written the foundational work for our Krishna conscious movement many, many hundreds of years back, Rupa Goswami, who in fact says the holy name is more merciful even than the Swarup, Krishna's own form. And why is that so? See, Krishna can be only seen with a very pure vision. You must be really exalted. A great rishi and saints, they can have the personal darshan of Krishna. But Krishna's holy name, which is another form of Krishna, is so merciful that even you and me, everyone, can chant it. And now, and then the holy name will enter into our heart and purify it so that we can see the form of Krishna. Krishna's holy name, therefore, is compared to Krishna taking on the role of a street sweeper. You would better say a heart sweeper. He comes in Kiran's heart. Holy name. And Kiran will begin to become pure. No more attachment to anything which is not 100% appropriate in Kiran's spiritual development. Holy name will come. No more attachment to horror movies. I know you don't like horror movies. Just saying something, because we have to. A class in England is good if a joke is there. I have learned. Krishna purifies the heart so that you can see. One Krishna comes so that you can see Krishna. The more merciful Krishna comes so that you can be with that other Krishna. Therefore, in this perspective, taking this perspective, the holy name is more merciful than Krishna even himself. But then, Kiran, we have to say, if he is Krishna, it's one Krishna, you know, Krishna is always super merciful. That is another perspective. But in Vaishnava, it's very, very shukshma, very fine, the understandings of Vaishnavas. And therefore, yes, with this fine perspective, we must say like this. Thank you. You have asked an excellent question. Yes, the mother of Radhika Priya. Huh? Your good name, please?
Hema.
Hema, yes, Hema. Yes. Is that chanting with our eyes as well? This is also an excellent question. See, in bhakti, we engage all our senses. And how we will engage our eyes in chanting is very nicely described by Rupa Goswami. One way to engage the eyes is you look while you chant on the deity of Krishna, on the form of Krishna. This is highly recommended that you do your jap in the morning before an altar where there is a deity or form of Krishna. Or you look at Krishna, picture, first class picture is available, even in our shop it is available. Or what we will learn, I think during this retreat, we will learn how to do, it is called a traktaka meditation. We will look at the written letters of the holy name. Because, see, the idea here is, when you focus the eyes, less distractions are bound to appear. If you ever try to speak to someone and your eyes wander all over the place, then you can't even speak anything because the mind is so distracted. In Nadya Shastra, in the scriptures which teaches about dance, this is nicely explained. It says, where the hand goes, there the eyes follow, and where the eyes go, there the mood in a state follows. So therefore, in chanting, we never look distractedly all over. If we do, like the Hare Krishnas do, checking their mobile WhatsApp creativity on the mobile telephone, or looking at Jai Shetty on the telephone while chanting. No, we like to look at Ganesha Priya. But not doing japa. Then our attention and distractedness, attention wanders and we will be distracted. So therefore, we focus our eyes on the deity, on the form, or the form of the Lord, or even the written letters of the Hare Krishna mantra, both in Sanskrit you can do, or you can do in English, as you please, as is good. But you have really said, this is the particular thing in japa. We want to engage all our senses. Our sense of touch has the beads and touches the beads. Our tongue chants the sound vibrations. Our ears are listening. Now our eyes are fixed on the deities or the... it's called traktaka meditation, the letters. What else senses? What other senses do we have? Smell. Yeah, well, I would say have a nicely aired out room that there's no bad smell. and then also the sense of smell is encouraged. or you can do puja and offer flowers before you start your japa sessions. Many devotees do put an incense. But the idea is full engagement so that a maximum of absorption or concentration is available. That's why also when you go in a car and chant in the car, and the whole Germany flies by your eyes, or Britain flies by your eyes through the left window, then it's just not so easy to focus the mind. Then you may close the eyes so that for better concentration. Bhaktivinoda Thakur even says that some, in old times, some who chanted japa, they bound their eyes like this, like Gandhari, like this, just to avoid distraction. I think if I would do this, you would be more distracted. What is he doing? Thank you. Excellent question. Yes, this will be the last question. Mm-hmm. Your good name, please.
Is it Kishore?
Kishoreji, yes.
Is it true that when we chant the holy name, that Krishna actually dances on your tongue?
If you make your chanting a nice dance platform, yes. He will not come so easily if there is not the nice reception. But that there is a verse is given by Rupa Goswami that when one chants the holy name, Krishna comes and dances on the tongue. It's very interesting. An analogy has been given. Our tongue could be compared in this analogy with a stone, and the holy name with crystal clear water, and it falls, and one part is on the tongue, therefore the dancing or the movement on the tongue, Hare Krishna, movement is there, no? And the other stream goes in the heart, and he dances in the courtyard of the heart, inside the heart, in other words. Yes, there's movement. It is a way of saying that Krishna appears and moves there. And we can express it with dancing when it is very devotional and lovingly. But again, Krishna is not like a waiter. When you sit in the restaurant, you can say, hey, come to the waiter. No? I have a good tip for you. And you wave a few £1 notes. You know, he does not come like that. It must be, he comes only when there is devotion or bhakti. But then he comes, and then he is there, and he moves you. Sometimes you might have appeared or expressed that, somehow Krishna seems to be here in the atmosphere. I feel something in the heart. I feel some shanti finally has come, some peace. You feel something. Good, I don't want to go over time, otherwise the organizers are frustrated with me and will not invite me again, so I stop here. And Dylan will just give us an orientation what to do next. Hare Krishna.